You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's ride!
I'm feeling the flavor tonight, Matt. I'm telling you. During little these really sticky hot type of stretches of time in New York, or in the summer wherever the hell you are, I don't know. No, actually no, especially in New York.
This is real Latino music.
I love this sound, man.
Stupid carnival sounding shit they make now.
Carnival shit they sound that they make now.
It all sounds like a carnival song, all of these songs.
I just like anything with groove. This is just beautiful. So beautiful. But other than that, you know, it's just a very, very, very hot sound. It's very, very free, but very, very controlled at the same time. You know, the freer you get, the sloppier you usually get. Not Latin music. It's very, very free, flowy, groovy, but it's always tight, you know? So, it's like slapping a nice firm ass. It kind of goes every which way for a split second, but then boom, right down, back down to the center of gravity. Just pulls it right back to where it was, like just a beautiful jello mold. Okay, I'm distracting myself. Oh, actually, that does lead me to something else. I had to pick up this New York Post the other day. I was out to breakfast with Lauren on Sunday morning at one of the breakfast spots we like going to, Poppy's in Rye. And somebody had left behind their New York Post. When I say, what the hell? When I say somebody, I picked up a post, it means I picked up somebody's used paper. But the beginning of it, it says Wiener in Meltdown. Okay, so it's got Anthony Wiener on the front. Okay. Wiener in Meltdown. Too hard to quit.
That's what the Post does. They try and be like edgy with their headlines.
Dude, their headlines are hilarious. They are.
The other day where it said God hates A-Rod because it rained on his parade, I guess.
Dude,
literally.
Listen, you want to know something? You might say, wow, that's harsh of them to print that. But when I saw that it started pouring on the last day, A-Rod, like, A-Rod has not had just how many moments has he had to just sit and just enjoy it purely? There's always a cloud hanging over that guy's head, and for his farewell to be rained on was just fitting.
He had a full year last year to enjoy himself, or the year before.
Dude, after you get stuck with steroids and after you do those ridiculous photo shoots with Esquire and GQ and when you say all those stupid things, when you go inside and out of the hotels with the blondes. Mickey Mantle was doing a lot more juicing than anybody else. He was just using Jack Daniels. That's the juice.
And he was playing drunk.
Yeah.
Like a real man.
Like a real man. Like a real good role model for kids.
Roger Maris, you know, after he hit his 61st home run, came to the dugout, had a cigarette, you know?
Roger Maris was also losing his hair because of the stress that was being put on him. And to be honest, if I was being destroyed by New York, by fans in New York and on the road, the way Roger Maris was getting destroyed by fans in that 61 season, I would have smoked a cigarette too.
Yeah, he's getting death threats. We should watch that. That was a good movie.
Well, in either case, I was going to say, too hard to quit. He's still sexting. Humiliation for Hill. Listen, everybody, just leave the motherfucker alone and stop slut-shaming him. At this point, this is just slut-shaming, okay? What did you think happened after the last go-around with Anthony Weiner? You think you drove the horniness out of him somehow? Stop. Stop. Too hard to quit. Meanwhile, while the employee of the New York Post who's putting together the front page and editing it down, while he's doing that, he's probably having his own sexting trysts in between printings. That's just pretty much what's going on here. But you know what? What it comes down to is we're in the human business. No matter what business you're in, you're providing a service, you're providing something, whether or not it's entertainment or news or anything like that, you're in the news of the human condition. And what do you do? What do you do? There's a lot of hypocrisy involved, but at the same time, I mean, why do you... Hypocrisy is part of the human condition as well. You put people under the microscope because there's a story there that other people can relate to. But other than that, I got a lot of things on my mind, a lot of things I was reading that tied into other thoughts I had, especially with what's going on around the country. Thought it was really interesting watching this Milwaukee riot play out. It's completely, I mean, you don't need to know anything about what's going on to guess what is happening, because this is how it's been designed from Ferguson to Baltimore, all the false narratives that were popped out there and all the speculation done by mainstream media, especially the leftist brand of it.
Aren't they actually like attacking any and all white people?
Yes.
Now?
Yes. Black man with a gun faces off with a cop, refuses to drop the gun. Black cop shoots the black man with a gun. And then there's calls for he white get him, hunting for white people, and then you're seeing calls to invade the suburbs. Let's not burn down our communities. Let's burn down their communities, completely missing the point of what actually happened. And we've had this embarrassing interview pop up on television as well. Take a listen to this, but of course this is going to make perfect sense as well. Listen up.
It's sad because, you know, this will happen because they're not helping the black community. Like, you know, the rich people, they got all this money and they're not, like, you know, trying to give us none.
Rich people got all this money and they trying to not give us none. Well, rich people can probably form a proper sentence, and this is what we're talking about. Matt, you want to say something?
They honestly think that just because you're white, you're born rich.
They've been taught this. There's no going back. There's no going back. It's not just them. It's everybody who subscribes to this way of thinking, that votes a certain way, thinks a certain way, that goes to certain schools, actually most schools now, especially if you go to college. I mean, just watch out. It's just indoctrination center time. But this is the nationwide narrative. And of course, the narrative is this simple, is this easy to digest, so that when it gets down and it leaks down, when the word and the talking points get onto the streets of even the most impoverished, undereducated communities, destroyed communities that are all destroyed by the end game of federal government subsidy, and everything else that has been put forward by great ideas like Lyndon Baines Johnson's Great Society. This is the end result. And when you create a narrative that is so already pre-digested for you, this is like, think of the media as the mama birds. They go and they eat up all the worms they need. They have everything they need to. They need to feed their young. They gather up all the food. They ingest it. They digest it for the young, for the people who aren't able to handle the whole worm. And then you go. Everybody sucks down the regurgitation. Listen to this. This is an excerpt from the book Government Zero by Michael Savage. I happened to be reading this on Sunday afternoon, and I said, you know what? I think this is a good segue, and it makes sense. The truth is, rich people pay most of the taxes in this country. 55% of all income paid. Taxes are paid by individuals that earn over $200,000 a year. 78% of all income taxes are paid by individuals who earn over $100,000 per year. If you know anything about making $100,000, which I don't, is I know it's still not a lot of money. Because they want you to believe this. They want you to believe that. And to be honest, this happened to me on just on Tumblr today. I had put out a post not too long ago. Let me get there. Not too long ago, Bernie Sanders had posted something. Bernie says it's absurd when the top 25 hedge fund managers make more than all the kindergarten teachers in America combined. My initial thought was, well, one profession deals with the investing and management of large sums of money and all the specialized skills that goes along with being able to perform in a line of work like that sufficiently, and the other deals in teaching the alphabet. So let that sink in for a second. One profession deals in the investing and management of large sums of money, and the other deals in teaching the alphabet. Now, when you really think about it, there's no way to really defend it. Now, people will try. In my eyes, there's no way to defend it. That's just my stance. Because whereas there's absolutely no reasonable person on the face of the earth that would ever go against the thinking that there needs to be competent early childhood educators and that they are not a staple in society's success and they are not a staple in children's lives and it's not a noble profession. But like all things, you have to make choices. Where is your career taking you? I'll tell you one thing. If I was living comfortably and I didn't have a care, I wouldn't mind that other people were making 58 million times more than I was. Where's everybody's callings? Isn't that also a part of a calling? Don't you gravitate towards something? Because that's what you're called to? And then what? The thing is that we're being taught to be butthurt over the fact that life decisions and the choices we make and directions we want to go, I don't even know how to fucking say it right now. And I've got a tickle in my right leg. I'm starting to get really, really fucking fidgety because I haven't eaten. But they're trying to say that if somebody, and this is the reason why wage gaps appear in all types of industry, across in all situations and demographics. This explains away the male-female wage gap. Choice. This is the reason why some people might forego becoming a kindergarten teacher to go into finance because they know how much a kindergarten teacher makes. And one idiot says to me, what could possibly be wrong with 25 people making more than over 150,000 people combined? They do important shit like make sure absurdly wealthy people become obscenely wealthy. The others only do a stupid bullshit like introduce your fucking children to the school system and establish a basic level of education going forward. Something that's proven to improve overall education and by association raise the standard the standard of living for the nation as a whole, you fucking maniac. This is a person. He said that to me. And of course, you know, this is the reason why people make up these false, this bullshit. The issue is that two things were made to seem related, but they're not. And it makes one person look like an asshole for standing out against it. When Bernie Sanders comes forward, or any of the assholes that are like him, comes forward and makes some kind of false equivalency, okay, and he conflates two issues, early childhood education and what the market says it's worth as far as salary, and what the market says that the going rate for a successful hedge fund manager makes are two different things. But when you look at the disparity in both of the professions and how one is considered noble and one is just to make the rich richer, the nuance goes over asshole, you know, 12-year-olds' heads all the time. He says, I work in the financial field. I work to try to unfuck people's lives after they've been taken advantage of by other financial institutions. My mom is a public school teacher. Money is a finite resource. This man, or whatever he is, a boy pretending to be a man, said that he works in the financial field, LOL. And then, two sentences later, goes on and has the audacity to say that money is a finite resource. Maybe gold and silver and bullion are finite resources, you ass fuck. You ass fuck. Finance. Tell me you work in finance, and then three sentences later, forget that there's a Federal Reserve or, you know, years of quantitative easing, fractional reserve lending. You want to talk about creating money and debt out of thin air, and you want to say it's finite? We have $20 trillion worth of fiscal operating debt. You nincompoop. Nincompoop. Stop blogging. Stop it. You're reversing all the great work that your mom does in public school. Because I'm sure she's making them into little Einsteins, and then they're going to go on Tumblr and read your ass, and then they'll go right back down the tube. So please, please, stop compromising your mother's work. I can't take it. I'm shaking right now. I never shake. What's going on, man? Gadget Doc says, yeah, financial field, a teller at a bank.
Frank, we have an idea for your Patreon.
Yeah, what's up? Let's do it.
Okay, so what you need to do is come on air without a shirt.
You want me to come on air without a shirt?
And that's going to help. We were just thinking that it would help the Patreon.
Well, how is it going to help the Patreon? Mostly, you guys, listen, we've had a very steadily growing community of people that are watching. But most of that is people who are watching, you know, off-site and all that stuff. It's the same 15 to 20 people in the chat room at any time. I mean, if you guys were going to throw a dollar in the Patreon, you would have already done it. Why do you need me to take my shirt off?
It was just a suggestion. We thought of it, and
it's a great suggestion.
I didn't want to leave it out. I wanted it on the record, really.
I don't know if
that's against Ustream terms of service, if we need to move to a different site for this kind of thing.
Listen, at this point, at any day now, we just maxed out all of the RAM that can go into this computer. So now we're going to go and do some other tests on streaming straight to Facebook, because we're thinking that I know that the chat is not as good, so we might use the Ustream chat on ZenLive.tv so people can get it easier. But as far as putting the stream out there into other places, Facebook is just, I mean, there's so many people that we can get out to right now. So as far as Ustream goes, we don't even have friends there anymore that I think can do anything for us, because yeah. Brad Huntsable sold it to IBM.
Oh, is that the deal?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was your buddy, right?
Oh, yeah, he still is. I'm sure we'll start talking again in about a couple of weeks, big time, because that's when the Cowboys start playing again.
Oh, right. You need all the solidarity you can get. Gadgetdoc suggests a Men of Zedalsla calendar.
I mean, I can ask everybody if they feel like they're confident enough to do that, Men of Zedalsla.
I think maybe some of Anthony's fans would buy that.
Oh, yeah, Anthony's fans would love it. Anthony's fans would love it. We actually have to take some more pictures. So what do you think about all this stuff?
I'm sorry, I had to take you off the ledge a little bit, Frank.
Yeah, well, it's not going to work because I'm really edgy tonight. It's another one of those nights where I haven't eaten and I feel like all of the fuel I had is gone. I'm running on fumes. I'm sputtering out and I'm very, very jittery. It's the same kind of jittery that you get when you are strung out on caffeine, that no matter how many push-ups I do right now, I'll still need to punch the wall. I want to hit. I really just want to hit something right now. That's the real thing. There's nothing that can get this out of me except hitting something.
Can we get one of the speed bags to hang down from the ceiling so you can just go like, so you can just like, hold on, guys, turn the mic off and...
Speed bag wouldn't do anything for me right now. I need a heavy bag. I really need to just throw.
you want, you can punch me in the face, bro.
I would love to, man.
Dude, I'd be an honor.
I really would love to, but I can't do that to you.
Let's do it, bro.
Can't do that.
I can take punches, bro. No, I've been punching myself fucking real hard for years, bro.
Dude, I wouldn't do that to you.
I could take it.
I wouldn't allow you to punch me in the face straight on.
I wouldn't punch you in the face.
You could fucking take it, bro.
I'm not punching you in the face. It's not going to be good. Why would it? No. Okay, Johnny. Johnny, do you have anything that you want to say about Milwaukee? Anything you want to say about this this Bernie Sanders tweet? Anything you want to say about Anthony Weiner? I'm all over the place tonight, and I almost want to just delete this episode and just tell people that I didn't go live tonight and have only you guys remember the memory. Because I feel like I'm not doing a broadcast that's indicative of what I usually do. I don't feel chilled out. I don't feel like we're having any of the good conversations that's going on. We don't have conversations tonight. We're not having it.
Listen.
Say something calming, because I'm all over the place.
I do think the best comment of the night was Gadgetdoc said, yeah, the financial field as a bank teller, because they make, what, $10 an hour?
Oh, yeah. I'm adding Gadgetdoc to the call. Gadgetdoc,
there he is.
Say
hey,
something.
Hey, what's Let's... up?
I think he's taking gin shots. I'm not sure, though.
Go not ahead. Confirmed. Drop it on us.
All right, so just to kind of dovetail on that, oh, I feel sorry for myself rant you were going on, I read today that a lieutenant in the Baltimore Police Department was suspended because he sent out an email to the FOP in Baltimore calling the Black Lives Matter and people that were disrupting the FOP convention in Baltimore thugs. So we're literally putting people out of work for hurt feelings. Okay.
Wait, explain this again.
I don't know what FOP is. Not the only one.
You're saying that this guy in Baltimore got suspended?
A police lieutenant with 30 years experience. He's like the vice president of the Fraternal Order of Police, FOP, in Baltimore, the union there, right? All right, so they had their convention on Sunday. Oh. So there were some Black Lives Matters and some other agent provocateurs, if I could be so bold, trying to disrupt them and calling them racist. Needless to say, they didn't take that very well. Oh. And, you know, there were a few people arrested for trespassing, about 12. But generally speaking, if you're arrested for trespassing, you're probably doing more than just going out and picketing, okay? I've been out picketing. The police generally leave you the freak alone.
Right.
So that's what's going on. So this police lieutenant with 30 years of experience is possibly going to be out of a job because he wrote a mean email. The most offensive word that he used
was thug.
Was thugs.
Well,
we've gone over the thug thing in the last year or so, even in like football and crap like that. Oh, thug is the new N word.
Thug's a new N word. Yeah, that's exactly. What else is the new N word? Because it seems like that list is expanding, and especially once hate speech. And that's the other thing. Where is the president? Where's the instigator? You know how they say that the fish rots from the head down, and here he is. He's off golfing, over 300 rounds of golf while Milwaukee is doing this, and just like it was in Baltimore and Ferguson. And where's the attorney general? Where is everybody? Where are all the statements being made? Where are the hate crimes? This is blatant hate crimes. People are looking for people of another race for the explicit reason of beating them.
Another police officer murdered. You know, I'm getting tired of this. I'm getting tired of the BS that goes on in this country because of this stuff. I don't generally don't get upset about stupid stuff. I try to hold it in and relax. But now I'm really pissed off about this kind of stuff because all it's going to do is push people to the edge and then you're going to have violence. All I see coming out of this is violence and it's snowballing.
Well, they're calling for it.
Stop it.
Now, you're a smart man, Gadgetdoc. Let me ask you a question. Do you think it's on purpose?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's agent provocateurs. I think it's... basically a couple of different ideologies going on. I do believe that it's partially Marxist ideology.
Frank, you're off air.
They would strongly want to say this is a fifth column.
Okay.
Action. Hell, when freaking Russia today was pushing this further along, and they're considered a, what shall we say, a propaganda unit of the of Russia.
Yeah.
In that they're not necessarily looking out for the Americans' best interests, and then the president takes it and runs with it, we got problems. Okay? We got huge problems. Okay? And then this other shit that Bernie Sanders talking about. We got tournament pay. Okay? How many hedge fund managers are there in the world? You know, let's talk about a finite number. You know, it's not small, and it's not, you can't get in, it's not that there's a barrier to entry or a high barrier to entry, but there is a barrier to entry. One, you have to have an education. Two, you have to have a Series 7 and a Series 63 license to even start talking about financial services.
Whoa, let's stop talking about facts here.
See,
this is all about
facts. You can't talk about facts. And Gadsduck, none of that would have fit in a 140-character tweet. The only thing that Bernie Sanders or anybody who talks about things like this in this way is to digest the worm for the baby birds. That's all it is. It's us versus them. It's class warfare. It's negativism. There's no good parts of our history. There's no reason why we should ever feel unity at all. There's no reason why we should ever aspire to work hard and do things for ourselves. Because there's this cloud of victimhood that's over us, and there's nothing that could be done about it. That's the only reason why this shit exists.
This is me off, and I'm gonna tell you why. My neighbor across the street is a teacher, nice fella. His wife is a stay-at-home wife. They have lots of kids. She's also a teacher, but she's got young children, and they're able to live that life. Okay, they made that choice. But I live in a middle-class neighborhood in North Carolina. Okay, so don't give me this shit that, you know, you can't live a good life and be a teacher. You're not gonna have the Mercedes-Benz. You're not going to necessarily have the new pool, but you're going to live a decent life, okay? You're going to have a nice house. You're going to have a nice neighborhood. You can raise your family. It's a good, honest job.
There's pension. There's tenure. There's I mean, and that's the other thing. You said good, honest job. We were talking about noble professions before as well. It not only is this class warfare bullshit getting into everybody's heads on a number of different levels, the biggest level right here is that it's taking nobility out of things like educating, because you're forcing people to think about the money that you're making in comparison to a hedge fund manager? How fucking unfair is that to even give somebody to think about? Aren't you getting into this for the children and to have a secure career?
Well, teaching is a vocation. Let's call it what it is. It's a vocation. It's not for everybody. That's why some people enter into the teaching profession and don't last for it. Not because they don't feel that there's something noble or good about it. It's just not the right vocation for them. It's the same as if you go into the clergy, or you're going and you're going to work for a 501c3. You know you're gonna be, or social worker. And you know that you're not gonna make a lot of money, but you do it because it's in your internal soul. As to this is what I need to do with my life.
That's a good point. Joining us now is Max from Colorado. What's going on, Max?
How's it going, guys?
Hey, everything that's on your mind.
I just wanted to bring up the origin of thugs. And this is interesting. Never heard about that.
Gadget Doc, when did that story break, by the way, with the lieutenant?
Today.
Okay, go ahead, Max.
Okay.
Local Baltimore channel, I can give that to you later.
Okay. Anyway.
The thuggies were originally a criminal gang in India, actually, mostly Muslim. And from time to time, the Maharajas of India, they would gather up all of the thuggies in their local area, their, you know, organized criminal gangs, and then sometimes arrest them, but usually they gather them up and then release them into a neighboring kingdom or province or something like that to cause disorder and stuff like that. So
are you saying that any at all American use of the word thug is actually cultural appropriation?
Well, so once the British took over, of course, it kind of the idea of calling any just kind of rough and tumble criminal a thug was introduced with English, and then of course it worked its way into American English afterwards.
So then let me ask you a question. In your thought, how do we stop the expanding of these ridiculous lists of can say and can't say words, hate speech, this arbitrary journey into self-censorship and possibly government-backed censorship in the future? We already see what's going on in Europe.
Get rid of the commies.
I mean, but there you go.
Physically removed, so to speak.
Yeah, but see, get rid of the commies. I would love to. How do we do that?
Well,
round them up. Are we talking about rounding up the commies? We got to start up a HUAC again. I would actually be down for a HUAC.
Yeah. No, I don't know if you understood or if I explained this properly. The thuggies were like a social caste inside of India. They were actually a tool of the Muslim princes that ruled over Hindu India to disrupt their neighbors and then go in and then invade. They were like the pre-invasion force, even though they were just, you know, common criminal kind of people.
So you're talking about a super elite of a society.
And they have
that steered the rage of these of the thuggies to disrupt their neighbors.
Yeah, and then they also have like a religious sort of belief about their crime. They believe that by practicing murder and theft, that they were able to. It was a cult almost. For about 2 million people died before the British took over and ended it. Which if you consider them a terrorist group, they were the most destructive terrorist group in history. They would, consider it part of a religious act and sacrifice to delay the apocalypse in order to go out and kill people. And I'm just noticing all these parallels between what's happening. You know, think about Ukraine and Soros and Mastodon and all of this sort of Cloward and Piven sort of behavior that's going on with the rich, liberal communists, whatever, meddling into these neighborhoods, putting them into the schools where they allegedly want the to just teach them the ABCs. But we all know what's really happening is so they can say the Pledge of Allegiance 3,000 times a year or something like that. And then, they're in these failing schools set up by the government, and then they have this controlled population, this almost death cult of inner city people to go around. I don't know if you're picking up all of the correlations that I see in this.
I'm just hearing about this this history right now, everything. This is not something that is unique to our time as far as how people are manipulated. And if you control education, that's the reason why education was such a big thing before. That's the reason why, if you're going to talk about 18th and 19th century United States, both slaves and freed slaves, education was one thing that was always barred from the slave population because of this reason. And because people are a lot less dangerous when they're acting and thinking on a very simple level. When you have the big mama birds that are regurgitating all their food and digesting it for them. Because if anybody was able to really put two and two together, This would be a much, much, much different looking country. We have been, this is a couple of generations of federal education coming back to bite us all in the fucking ass. And it doesn't start and stop at education, but it definitely is one of the cornerstones. There's a lot of different factors here.
Well, I mean, the people on Tumblr and such are just young idealists. They don't know any better. Life hasn't sucker punched them in the face yet. Give them a few years, and then they're going to be like, oh, okay, I guess I was an idiot. I guess, yeah, I am being manipulated. They just need to get sucker punched in the face a couple of times, and then they'll figure it all out. But, you know,
it goes back to that whole, you know, people just need to wake up to what the Bernie Sanders so-called revolution really was, right? They didn't catch on that.
I got to go, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan.
You know, they didn't catch on to the fact it's about buying a third home for him on the lakeside and getting access to a private jet and stuff like that.
Oh, totally. totally.
And there's so many excuses. I had a conversation, a couple of Facebook posts back and forth, and the sycophants are, it's just so...
I saw a lot of the excuses as to why he was buying his third home. It's only $600,000. I saw people saying it's only $600,000. Do you?
So you're $60,000 in student debt. That's nothing, right?
That's absolutely nothing. And not only that.
A tip.
But like we said before, 78%. Of all of the taxes, of all the money that is pumped into the economy, pumped into all these government programs, 78% of the taxes come from people making $100,000 and more. 78%. This guy just bought his third home at $600,000. And we're going to complain that the people making $100,000 and more aren't paying their fair share when they've already picked up more than three quarters of the tab. You've got to be fucking kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. This is like an alcoholic trying to cure themselves with wine. This is ridiculous. And then over here, here's another excerpt I got from the book that I was reading. It says, self-loathing liberals want to transform America into a self-loathing, guilt-ridden, atheist culture they can wallow in with tax-subsidized life of luxury to help ease their pain. It is the crony capitalism and luxury for them and socialism and misery for everyone else. Hillary Clinton is their perfect spokeswoman, a fabulously wealthy Gulfstream liberal who condemns other wealthy people who actually earned their money. And when you think about that, it really goes to show why people like Hillary Clinton, why that ruling class will never have to worry about even just the rolling out the rhetoric of going after the rich. Because what really doesn't matter to them when their product is something that's completely intangible? Their product is nothing. It's absolutely nothing. You know, they have no interests that could be threatened, because the worse off the country gets, the more it needs government to try to survive. So it really is something else if you think of it that way. And also, I started thinking about Secret Service for life. I wanted to know, I just had an idea. I forgot what the hell conversation popped up, but I wanted to see what Secret Service for life positions there were, aside from the presidency. Because I thought that there might have been something else, justices. I didn't know what the hell it was.
I imagine the Supreme Court, although... They are very low profile. They hardly ever get any coverage.
Yeah.
Most people don't even know their names. But
it's the presidents. And I saw here from 1997. This was very, very interesting. So when I went to go figure it out, I stumbled upon this little factoid here that I thought was really interesting. So I have a question at the end of this one. From 1997 until 2013, legislation became effective limiting Secret Service protection to former presidents and their spouses to a period of 10 years from the date the former president leaves office. President Barack Obama signed legislation reversing this limit and reinstating lifetime protection on January 10th, 2013. What I wanted to ask was, do you think people like Barack Obama know exactly what their about to do to a country or in the process of doing to a country really is going to cost to want to reverse that and make sure that you always have guns on your back, making sure that you're going to be safe for the rest of your life. And of course, Hillary Clinton already exercise and enjoys that because of Bill. I would have to imagine that they gave Bill security back in 2013.
Well, he could obviously afford it, right?
Right.
I want to imagine that, you know, maybe the Sauds are probably, if Hillary didn't want to spend the money out of her own pocket, the Sauds or somebody would do it for her.
Yeah.
Because they need her as the inside, you know, kind of the inside ticket to do all of the stuff they wanted to do, you know, buy the uranium, buy the contracts, get exemptions from federal regulations and secure arms transfers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even if there was just a credulity or a smidgen of honesty about what was actually going on in the Clinton State Department, where we have direct arms transfers being approved by her for cash into the Clinton Foundation, that were ending up from going from the South into the hands of you know, Islamist rebels.
That's actually good. I have a few things on that right now.
That's treason. Basically, if she doesn't win this election, she'll be she legally could end up in the gallows.
Well,
that's the honest truth about if there was a honest media and the Republicans actually pulled out all the stops on what was actually going on there.
Totally. Hey, you know, Max, thank you so much for the call, man. I have a couple of more couple more things I want to tie this up. I feel like a stuttering, stammering freak tonight. I am so, so jittery right now. I want to just take an entire half of a chicken and just shove it up my ass.
No, break the wishbone first.
Yeah, I'm going to do something. Well, thanks, thanks for the call, man.
Take care.
I just want to have an entire Lomo just shoved down my throat. All right, let's get around to this. I promise tomorrow I'll be a lot more composed, and this will be the same walk through the park that it usually is. The Citizens Commission on Benghazi, a self-selected group of former top military officers, CIA insiders, and think tankers, declared Tuesday in Washington that a seven-month review of the deadly 2012 terrorist attack had determined, talking about Benghazi, had determined that it could have been prevented if the U.S. hadn't been helping arm al-Qaeda militias throughout Libya a year earlier. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what Donald Trump needed to be talking about when he's talking about Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump being co-founders of ISIS the last week and a half, and not just leaving it there. Something so reductive and small for people to lump him into the likes of Alex Jones and everybody else who's a conspiracy theorist, just out saying outlandish things without backing it up. This is what needs to be brought out there. This is what needs to be brought out there. Because whereas the president ignored intelligence to allow ISIS to thrive and to, at the same time, win an election by saying that he accomplished what he set out to do in 2008, which was win the war in Iraq and send our troops home. So against all of our best intelligence, he went and brought troops home, created the sandbox, the playground for ISIS to go and play and take up all the land and the oil fields and everything else they had and gain power and influence. So now that we're actually sending troops back, but he doesn't have an election to win, so it doesn't matter now. As long as he was in there for 8 years to push his bullshit through. Ladies and gentlemen, I was just told that Three Drink Minimum is not going live tonight at 8 o'clock and that I can go over if I would like. But I'm not going to do that because I really don't like the show I did tonight. Just to be honest with you guys. I feel like shit physically. I feel like it came out that way as well. So I'm going to make sure that I have a hefty meal before I get back here tomorrow. I'll probably leave the house around 5:45. I'm going to have egg salad eggplant rollentini, whatever I can find. I'm going to destroy myself. I want to get here. I want the first thing to do is me have to fucking purge that I have so much goddamn food inside of me, because I don't know how I'm going to go into the other room right now and practice with Anthony and Derek. Tom's not around tonight. He's off on for a family wedding. But Derek, Anthony, and I are practicing for a gig that we're playing on Saturday. And I have to go into that room, which is so hot. I'm already sweating thinking about it. Now I have to play two 45-minute sets worth of songs on absolutely nothing inside of me except a half a glass of water. And, I better not get a dirty look from anybody tonight. Seriously, dude, ringing, the hand ringing that's going on right now. So if this is your first time viewing or first time listening, please come back tomorrow night. Please come back tomorrow night and forget about everything you saw here. Very, very seldom do I feel this badly. Good night, everybody. Have a good one and be well.